I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all things.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. As usual, I think we'll have a program jam-packed with information. We'll be talking about cognitive dissonance. We'll be talking about our flashing in and out holographic universe. We'll be talking about reality creation. And no doubt there'll be some interesting tips concerning health and healing. And before we get into all those items, I'd like to kick off the show in our usual manner by having a little japa yoga. And that would be led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that Hari Om clip now, that'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari, Hari, Hari.
Hari, 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 Om.
Hari, 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 Om.
Swami Satchitananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes, leading us in a little Japa Yoga. And that was a clip from back in the 1970s. I'd like to now give my usual disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. I'd like to now express my gratitude and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience, especially to those people who do take the time to email me concerning content of programs and programs that you'd like to hear more information about or hear the ET Yoga spin on them. And if you are so inclined, you can always email me at paperfungo, P-A-P-E-R-F-U-N-G-O, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. And I also invite you to visit my website, which is at etyoga.com. And, of course, there are a variety of products there, including my latest book, which is ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Our Reality. And speaking of our reality, it seems that in the new times, we certainly need to develop a nose for the truth. And developing discernment is certainly necessary in wading our way through all the mess of lies and disinformation and flat-out deceit that we see that we're presented with on a daily basis. And it amazes me sometimes to see information in the mainstream media that is not only not accurate, but sometimes events didn't even happen. Or if they did happen, there's an entirely different spin placed on those events. And I think related to this whole concept of developing a nose for the truth, that probably it's not a bad idea to be involved even in something like the game of chess, you know, where you're focusing on what is objectively the best move. And interestingly enough, the best move is always a good idea from all points of view. And I find the truth is kind of that way, too. It always makes sense from all points of view. And as the Andromedans would say, it would be a really good idea to always take a look at why we believe what it is we do believe, especially since belief is such an important factor. And the whole concept of cognitive dissonance comes up. And cognitive dissonance is the mental stress or discomfort experienced by an individual who holds two or more contradictory beliefs, ideas, or values at the same time, performs an action that is contrary to one or more beliefs, ideas, or values, or is confronted by new information that conflicts with existing beliefs, ideas, or values. And Leon Festinger proposed cognitive dissonance theory, which states that a powerful motive to maintain cognitive consistency can give rise to irrational and sometimes maladaptive behavior. And I think it's also interesting to note how when a person has deep-seated beliefs, the universe that person experiences tends to support those beliefs or they use a warped sense of objectivity to make objective facts fit their beliefs, even though truly objective observers would see the faulty reasoning. And I mention this particularly in connection with many events that are taking place today that I know 40 or 50 years ago would have seemed almost a paranoia. But facts come to light that show us that sometimes the truth is actually really, for many people, new information that conflicts with their existing beliefs and ideas and values. And this is why I guess there's this term called waking up, and sometimes it's very difficult for people to accept certain truths, even though they're quite obvious right before their eyes, because their beliefs and the world that they live in just can't accept the truth. And also, I think connected to that idea is where does the need to be right come from? And I think Esther Hicks, that's via Abraham Hicks, has some good connections there. And she states that your inner being knows your value and goodness, and that's where the idea about being or the need to be right comes from. And what you translate as being right or being rightness is when someone calls you right, it's because you met their criteria. If you learn the answer that they want you to give, they will call you right. That's kind of like the educational system. They don't want you to think or figure things out. They want you to regurgitate the answer they have given you. And to be right comes from a knowledge that you are. It's somewhat akin to a doctor who has diagnosed you to be ill, giving you good news. Tell me something that will make me feel better. And the doctor says, well, I can't give you false hope. And also kind of relates to the idea that looking for confirmation of your rightness, sometimes we look for that rightness in all the wrong places. And Esther points out that the only place to find it is in the vortex. Because if you are not in alignment because other people don't get you or think it's right, it's not being in alignment that you get upset about. In other words, it's not so much that they disagree with you, it's that you kind of lose your peace because they do. So a good tip is that your inner being won't hold you in a negative thought. And the idea here is to just accept that being right feels good, and you can ignore the rest. Or as Swami Satchitananda would say, don't be attached to being right. In fact, he also once stated that the hardest thing that he ever learned was to learn to be non-attached to being non-attached, which I think is kind of an interesting bit of information with respect for food for thought. I'd like to now also mention that if you choose acceleration on your highest path, even if you do not understand what that path entails, according to Solara Anra, who channels Pleiadian information, you can speak these words now and every day. I am part of the shift. I choose a path of light and source now. I let go of resistance to change. I step into this flow of my highest path, and I manifest only that which is for the highest good of all. Interesting points of view. And also, according to the same source, the easiest way to bring yourself into the frequency of love, light, and joy is to activate gratitude within your emotional field. And the Pleiadians and I also have mentioned a few times on the ET Yoga show that during these times, certainly keeping proper health is maximum. And one of the best ways to do that is to build a strong aura and thus a strong immune system. And when they were asked, how harmful are the chemtrails? And the answer was that it depends on how weak your immune system is. And they also highly suggest to limit your use of technology as much as possible. And, of course, if you're a longtime listener of ET Yoga, you'll know that I do mention Bashar's basics of health, which is a good, foundation for good health, which involves pure water, oxygenation, exercise, elimination of stress, detoxing, and working toward a vegetarian and vegan diet. And I should also include in there getting plenty of sunlight because it's our main source of vitamin D, and vitamin D is the trigger to the immune system. Now, I also have mentioned many times about if you want to take the basics and expand on them with respect to your own health, that by placing positive emotion into your drinking water is a very good way to increase the quality of what you're putting into your system, and since we are mostly water. And also you can place symbols and yantras and mantras around your drinking water. You can play classical music around it as well. And maybe one of the most effective methods would be to place crystals, especially Andara crystals, because Andara crystals have the highest frequency of any known crystal. There are also what I call kind of exotic means of maximizing your health potential. One of those would be the activation of your original blueprint for perfect health. A recent Russian discoveries by Gerasev have shown us that our DNA does understand our language, so we can actually talk to our DNA, and it will obey our commands. I call it exotic because for some people that idea is really outside the box concept. I would also suggest that people could spend time calling in the violet ray of Saint Germain, very powerful technique to eliminate negativity from your aura. Would also recommend sun gazing. And for more information on that, I would suggest you go to Hira Ratan Manak, M-A-N-A-K. And also, I've been very impressed with the whole concept of Qigong, And for those that are new listeners, Greg Braden has documented a woman that went to Beijing, China, went to a Qigong center, and had her cancer tumor dissolved in about 3 minutes. You can look that up on YouTube. That's Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes, Greg Braden, B-R-A-D-E-N. And I think that some of the philosophy around Qigong is most impressive. I've been taking Qigong training from Master Ming Tong Gu, and as he states, energy that contracts creates stress, and if nothing is done to release the stress, it becomes chronic and creates blockages and stops the flow of energy. Happiness creates an energy flow, and when energy flows freely, we feel good. And he states the main cause of chronic illness is stress, accumulative stress, especially trauma. And this is reflected in the body as blockages. And it compromises your mental well-being and creates emotional blockages as well. And in Qigong, we do the sounds that release the blockages and release the unconscious programming. That is the kind of summary of what Qigong and sound healing is about. It actually awakens your potential on both on a physical, emotional, and a spiritual level. And Qigong is a tool for you to connect with the energy of the universe. And it also helps you create a link and a connection between the brain and your organs. Because when you reconnect the brain energetically with the body, it creates a new communication. And he gives us an example. The most powerful cause of Parkinson's disease is stress. And thus, Qigong releases the basic cause of the disease. And from stuck energy, you can feel pain or discomfort, but that will result in a free-flowing energy, and eventually you will feel good and the disease does disappear. And it's the process of opening or freeing the energy. And in this light, he mentions that pain is not bad, it's just part of the process. And whether you feel it or not, the blocked energy creates ill health, and some pain is part of the healing process. Should also note that a very interesting aspect about the Qigong is that it really is outside the box of Western thinking. And as Barbara Marciniak has stated, in between the phasing in and out of existence is where thought exists and then manifests the outer reality. And I think this is also related quite clearly in Qigong practice. Is that they basically understand that consciousness is outside the body. It's not in the brain as we've been taught. And if you really do some research into the Qigong system, I think that you might find that quite a fascinating option to get involved with. And it really doesn't take a lot of time. It's kind of like learning yoga asanas. And this whole concept about our universe flashing in and out of existence, I think it's really key because when it flashes in and out of existence, that's where thought exists, and thought is what creates your template for your beliefs, and as we know, what you believe is. And at fourwinds10.com, there's some quite interesting information there in a channeling from Metatron. And he talks about multidimensionality and our flashing universe, because basically it does flash off and on, kind of like a strobe. And, of course, it does so quickly that our eyes can't pick it up. In fact, I guess if you really get technical, even all motion is actually illusion. It's much similar to an old motion picture projector where you have a reel, and on that reel are a bunch of frames, and the frames are all still pictures. But when the pictures are run through the projector, it appears on the screen as motion. And our consciousness and our brains kind of work like the projector. And we create the illusion of continuity or motion. And I think this was also perfectly amplified by Bashar, who once stated that when you move a quarter from one hand to the other hand, it's not the same quarter, because location is a property of an object. And so when I came across this article concerning multidimensionality and flashing universe, kind of tied in with what I'd been mentioning on a couple of previous ET Yoga shows, and I don't really hear this information. I haven't heard it from any other sources. And so if I have listeners out there that are becoming familiar with this, I appreciate if they would email me at paperfungo@yahoo.ca and let me know where else they're seeing this information. And I think it's really fascinating that in with respect to ET yoga, one of the concepts certainly that I support is the whole concept of reincarnation. And as Metatron points out, lifetimes, in your terms, are not linear. Rather, they coexist in the quantum field of the eternal now moment. The universe, as you know it, flashes in and out in a pulsing sequence of light energy frames that consist of what we call consciousness units. The process of God's source seeding the matrix of awareness through pixels of minute particulate involves what we term flashing units of consciousness, electromagnetic units that can and do pulse in and out of all realities in a strobe light fashion. These flashing energy units are geometric in nature and occur with a relatively short lifespan. Your scientists postulate that black holes are imploded supernovas of extremely compressed energy, whose gravitational field is so immense that it pulls into itself all matter and light. Yet they do not as yet recognize that at the back of the black hole, in a manner of speaking, is a white hole that generates new, vitalized energy into the universes. As such, there is a constant surge of new energy into your universe, which comes through a nearly infinitesimal number of white holes. The sequencing of energy in and energy out creates a flashing effect within the consciousness and time sequence of your reality. Your oversoul is calibrated within the flashing sequence. Imagine then that the root unit of your beingness, in your terms, your oversoul, is at the center of a wheel, and this hub is a flashing receiver of conscious light and emits an infinite number of pulsing light threads or fiber optic spokes, and at the end of each spoke is one of your soul aspects or incarnational sojourns. The reincarnation aspects represented by the spokes of the wheel receive units of conscious light. And these conscious units that are flashed outwardly at an amazingly rapid strobe seem to be sequenced and linear, but in fact, there is a great timeless void in between each pulse. Now, as each spoke or lifetime aspect becomes more resonant, more capable of holding the energy of energy pulses, it consciously expands back into the center. And actually, this is a process that I call consciousness completion. And it becomes aware of the unity of the multi-aspects of the hub and all the other spokes, and in so doing, evolves back into the center, becoming part of the center. Therefore, achieving the ability to be fully conscious in the now, one can literally go backwards and forwards in time and can be in all places and all times simultaneously. Simply stated, you co-create your own reality. Your existence on the planet of duality upon the three-dimensional planes of Earth are somewhat limited in perceptional lenses, somewhat faltered by design. An analogy of the human brain functions can be seen as akin to a dual radio receptor. One aspect, the ego personality, can be considered to be in the band of AM radio, and the subconscious or God mind aspect as tuned into a broader FM band. The personality ego perceives and focuses into reality a single event from all of the probable ones. And the ego experiences the event, it's only one of the probable ones, and it becomes actual in your reality only when the physical aspect of self experiences it. The greater self can and does experience reality in an entirely different fashion than the ego personality brain does, and from that perspective, from that integral higher stance, is fully aware of all other dimensions, probabilities, and potential events, time-sequenced realities, than the one experienced by the frontal brain aspect of the personality physical base or ego self. Both perceptions are equally valid, but one is tuned to only one station and with reason. That reason is what is termed focal life lesson, and indeed is part of your growth process, but one in which you are destined to grow beyond. In truth, you are like Dorothy in the metaphoric tale of the Wizard of Oz, dreaming to access the infinity of the higher mind, or actually learning to access the infinity of the higher mind, comes only after learning to willfully create with the ego mind. Indeed, when you do, and you already have in a real sense, you will realize that you had the power all the time. You simply needed to click the shoes together, as did Dorothy of Kansas in her path of exploring the wonders of Oz along the yellow brick road. Using only the limited physical senses, you can never perceive the other systems, yet probable events and parallels are substantive, bona fide experiences, even if you do not perceive them to be within your physical antenna. In these other systems of reality, each of you has other selves, not as an identical self, but through different aspect parts of your oversoul, developing abilities in a different way than you are in physical reality, emphatically contributing to your soul expansion and consciousness. And Metatron says that we will tell you that aspects of the golden age of Atlantis is in fact from your future, in your terms, a future that in this time frame has been seemingly pulled into your past. When you learn to tap into the flashing pulse of creation units you will be able to travel consciously within and without the width and breadth of space and time and all its parallels. He also suggests that there are tools available to you to assist in this process. Indeed, crystalline forms are more capable of holding the pure sequence and energy of consciousness units and indeed help in the merging of the front mind into the wider realm and frequential sequencing of the God-mind harmonic. And I think this definitely, you know, connects with the use of crystals. And I would say that it's really a good idea to work with any kind of crystals. Master Kathumi once gave an analogy that if we were talking about some scale of measurement and frequency, if the average person was at 2 to 500 on this scale, a crystal would resonate at about 3,500. And they are also interdimensional. And if you do any studying about the Andara, that's A-N-D-A-R-A, Andara crystals, you'll see that they come from monatomic fields and are also known as the highest frequency among crystals and clearly interdimensional. And I would suggest that they also help in the whole process of reality creation. And taking another tip from Esther and Abraham Hicks, if you can feel it, you will soon see it. If you can feel it, then it's ready to pop. And if you can feel it, hang in there, because sometimes impatience is slowing things down. And she gives a great tip about focusing on any thought and focus on it, and it could manifest this very day. And another tip she gives is don't argue for your limitations or keep score of what is, that you can't attract the rain while talking about the drought. You need to be focused on how it can be. And she suggests that it's good to almost think of the whole process as easy, even if it's taken a long time. Because in time, you'll realize that you made it a struggle for longer than was necessary. I'd say that's very positive advice with respect to those of you who are involved with practicing reality creation. Give yourself permission. And as noted in a previous program, activating our 12 strands of DNA is certainly a highly desired goal and would certainly assist in this whole process. And one of the techniques I'm going to mention again is manifesting, activating your 12-strand DNA. And that's through the mantra Om Mani Padme Hum. And that's Om, O-M, Mani, M-A-N-I, Padme, P-A-D-M-E, Hum, H-U-M, Om Mani Padme Hum. And recite it 108 times a day. It is also connected with the sacred Sri Yantra divine geometry. And the instructions are to place a Sri Yantra. You can take a 2D photo, place it in front of you at about forehead height, and while you chant this mantra 108 times, you look into the center spot or the bindu of the Sri Yantra, and it balances the right and left lobes of your brain, and a person who has access to both lobes is generating scalar waves and thus in touch with higher dimensions of functioning. And the Dalai Lama endorsed this mantra, and it is very popular among the Tibetan Buddhists. And I also recall that it was mentioned by Baba Ram Dass in his book, Be Here Now, Now Be Here. And I think this is also, it's another way to get yourself in a very high place with respect to when you want to practice either a positive spin or practicing reality creation. And again, the key of in terms of developing reality creation is to create heart-brain resonance, which is most easily attained by expressing gratitude and appreciation for already having received that which it is you intend to manifest. And becoming a frequency match or having the feeling of already having it makes you a frequency match for that you intend to manifest. Should also point out that there are some things going on in our environment, such as we mentioned the chemtrails. Harder to avoid those, a little bit easier to avoid fluoride in the drinking water. I would highly suggest Americans need to do some research on GMO'd foods and the effects. They haven't been banned in 60 countries for no reason, and yet they seem to be promoted in North America, and very damaging to your immune system. And for those who are interested in activating their pineal glands, from Amazing Wellness, 8 ways to detoxify and activate your pineal gland. Number 1, decalcify. Calcification is a condition in which calcium phosphate crystals deposited in various organs and tissues of the body. This calcification of the arteries is a widely accepted risk factor also in heart disease. And can the pineal gland become simply calcified? Well, some theories say yes, and most people have a chunk of calcium in the center of the brain, which looks white on an X-ray or MRI. Drinking sodas and eating refined and processed foods are said to contribute to calcification. And the biggest impact, though, is fluoride from tap water and toothpaste. And to decalcify the pineal gland, avoid fluoride in all forms. Use filtered water for drinking and bathing, and buy fluoride-free toothpaste. Another suggestion they have is to detox. And no doubt, things like bentonite clay would be very beneficial because it helps to remove metals from the system. They also mention meditation, especially in the dark, because darkness encourages the pineal gland to produce melatonin. They also suggest to scent yourself, that certain essential oils are thought to stimulate the pineal gland, especially frankincense. Chanting Om, there is an actual physiological effect to chanting Om. They also suggest to hang up. Cell phones are said to damage the pineal gland. 7, play with the rocks. Rocks, stones, and crystals have long been used to stimulate various body chakra centers. And the colors indigo and dark purple are associated with the third eye. And they also suggest to take melatonin supplements. And that's from Amazing Wellness. And I guess all this kind of relates in a general way to the game of life. And I haven't shared this on ET Yoga for a while, so I I thought I'd take the opportunity to do that tonight because I think it kind of ties in with many of these topics. The game of life basically is creating your own reality. So imagine you're about to participate in an interactive role-playing game. And there are rules in this game that everyone agrees to. And what goes up must come down. Day is followed by night. And if you touch a flame, it will burn you, etc. And you get to choose the character you play beforehand. Shall I be black or white, Australian or American, male or female? You might even choose to meet up with others in the game, which is tricky because you won't necessarily remember them when you see them. And to enter the game, you must be born and become completely helpless. You must forget everything you know and start all over again. You're given sets of rules by the older players, which you learn as you go along. And after a given time, you are declared an adult by the other players and are set out on your own. The thing is, after a while, you become involved so completely immersed in the personality of the character that you're playing in this game that you forgot who you really are. You forgot that you're even in a game, and you begin to believe that the game is all there is. Now, you still get to decide everything that happens to your character, which you do constantly, but a player who has now totally identified with the character you have chosen to portray, you begin to believe that not everything that transpires is happening by chance or fate. And when the character you play goes to sleep, you return to your real self, and this is also your opportunity to plan ahead and manifest the character's desires and wishes. And when the character later awakens, it is within the belief that he or she was simply dreaming. Some players, realizing that there has to be more than just this game, will start searching for answers. Some conclude that someone must have invented this game, and probably all the players in it. They begin to worship this mysterious someone, who obviously must be much smarter than they are, and invent more rules that they insist were made by the original game creator. The only way to leave this game is called dying, and once this transpires, you remember who you really are, and you rejoin friends, some of whom were in this game with you. You may also interact with some who were involved with other games and share your experiences. The game, you conclude, was fun, adventurous, and a great learning experience, and you decide to play again, this time in a different setting. And I thought that was quite interesting with respect to an analogy to kind of like the game of life that we're actually in. And another one of the bits of information that I like to share on ET Yoga, and especially if you're new listeners and you haven't heard about any of these, are the ultimate truths of reality. And it all really ties into self-empowering ideas. And in my opinion, would reflect more the actual teachings of Christ. And actually, these ultimate truths of reality, I first came across them at the College of Christ Consciousness, and it's a channeling by Gene Hatch of Mother Mary. And if you know anything about that environment, it was basically in a scene environment. And as a connection as well to yoga, the Essenes actually practice a form of integral yoga that's almost identical to the six branches of integral yoga as taught by Sri Swami Satchidananda, and that was taught over 2,000 years ago by the Essenes. And these ultimate truths of reality were actually kept in the mystery schools and only became available about oh, I'd say it's probably been about 10 years now. And they're very difficult to find now. I was actually looking for them to give you a place to go and look for them, and I can't find them anymore. So if you know how to find the list that used to be there, you can let me know, because I think they're really, you know, it's all about how we operate in our realities. And there's basically 21 ultimate truths of reality that we're given, and I'm going to share those with you now. First, that Prime Creator, or God, is all that is, and therefore I am Prime Creator expressing itself as me. Two, I'm not striving for perfection as I'm already perfect. What I'm striving for is to remember my perfection. Three, no one can create in my reality but me. Four, nothing can be in my reality unless I create it. Five, everything in my reality is created by my beliefs. Six, as a creator, I am 100% responsible for everything I create. Seven, everything happens for a reason. Eight, there are no accidents. Nothing happens by chance. 9. I create 100% of the time. I have the power to choose whether I apply that 100% toward creating what I want or energizing what I don't want. 10. I am the only one there is. I am not divided into parts. 11. All events are neutral. There are no negative experiences, although I can choose to define any experience as negative. Therefore, if I'm experiencing negativity in my life, then I have chosen it. 12. There's only one vibration, love. Fear is the illusion of the absence or lack of love. 13. I cannot be in fear unless I believe that whatever I fear has more power than I do. 14. How I feel is a reaction to what I believe. 15. All disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. 16. There are no victims, there are only lessons. 17. I am the only authority in my life. However, in an attempt to avoid taking responsibility for being that authority, I can choose to falsely believe that someone or something else has power over me. 18. Every person, place, or thing of which I become aware is a mirror and has the potential to be a gift. 19. At any given moment, I am either giving love or asking for love. 20. I am that which I create. And 21. There are no limitations. If I have an experience that I define as a limitation, it is happening as a result of the way I think. The appearance of all limitation is merely an effect or of error thinking. God has no limitations, and as an aspect of God, neither do I, unless I believe that I do, in which case I will create the appearance of limitation as a direct result of my beliefs. And if you're interested in kind of writing those down, and I know it's kind of hard when you listen to the show for the first time, but you can always go to the archives, and the archives are at BBS Radio, and they're also an easy way to find them is to go to my website, etyoga.com. On the main page, there's a button called Radio Archives, and you hit that button, and you will go to the most recent programs. And today's program is usually available in the next day or two after the live broadcast. So if you're interested in kind of having your own list of those, and it seems like, as I said, becoming harder and harder to find. And as I look at that list, the first thing that come to my mind is the connections between a lot of Bashar's teachings with respect to the power of belief. And basically, let's face it, most of our existence is centered around, you know, that concept. and Pleiadian teachings as well. And in fact, I once did a program going through all 21 points, giving it from Bashar's point of view, from Pleiadian point of view, and from this channeling. And so it turns out, I found a correlation and a connection and a consistency in all of the points among all three sources. One from apparently many hundreds of years in our future, which would be Bashar, and the Pleiadians from more of a current information that's being shared with us on the planet, and from the Essenes and Mother Mary from 2,000 years ago. Interestingly, that these ultimate truths of reality were kept in the mystery schools and away from public attention for nearly 2,000 years. And certainly at this point in our program, I like to typically wish my listening audience my sincere best toward your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing, I'd like to share with you, in our normal manner, the Who Am I technique as taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi, and it's called the Vichara. And to do this technique, I suggest that you get in the highest place you can, maybe doing that technique of 108 Om Mani Padme Hums might do that. That's one possible way. You probably have multiple other ways to go about getting into that high place. When you get there, the idea of the Who Am I technique is to place the thought I as a spot in your third eye or ajna center in your forehead. And the idea would be to focus and totally become that spot. And then when you're that spot, you can ask yourself, who am I? And do that a number of times, whatever seems to be most comfortable for you. And again, being totally focused on becoming that one spot. And then you state the following: I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of...